So what are we doing today, Jim?
Well, we're recording the podcast.
Well, I know that.
It is the season finale.
Okay, so what have we got? We got
five. So you can look at the agenda.
Yeah.
And you
reminded me to speak into the microphone.
Yes, I have reminded you to speak into the microphone this time, so yeah. The listeners can actually get the full experience of your voice.
Yeah.
Unlike last time.
Oh, do you want some cordial, Jim?
I would love some cordial. Right. I was about to ask.
We'll just have a quick drinks break.
Drinks break currently sponsored by Cotties. Is it Cotties? Yeah, it's Cotties.
Choose your own adventure.
Oh. This is dangerous.
Choose your own adventure. All right, so we're going choose your own adventure with the cordial.
You can make it as strong or as weak as you like. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Finally Podcast. So let's kick it off with the fines.
Let's kick it off with the fines. Yes, that's as we usually do. First one is from a couple of potties ago, because Nico was an absolute idiot.
Yeah.
And just had this pen in his hand, and he was clicking it the whole time, and I didn't realise until I was editing it, and he did it throughout the whole thing.
Is that too strong or too weak?
It's really hard to tell, to be honest.
It really is. Long calls. I reckon long call is the hardest to get strength.
Right? Yeah, but once you get it right, it's easily the best. Oh, you just... So it's not choose your own... You're just choosing my adventure for me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can be my test dummy, Jim.
It's ever so slightly on the weaker side, but I'll drink.
God damn it.
Then again, I do like my cordial strong. Not stronger.
Oh, that's... Strong.
All right, have fun, Nico.
Oh, we're bouncing off the walls.
Yes, you will.
Anyway, let's actually do the... This is a mess already.
No, it's fine. I mean, yeah, well, it is the season finale.
Yeah.
No, we're just doing whatever we want, Nico.
That's true.
It's off the rails.
That. You did say
like
that.
Like SIDS. It's off the rails.
It's choose your own adventure.
Choose your own adventure. Do whatever the f*** you want. So yeah. I just swore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to have to bleep that out.
You're going to have a fun time editing
Oh,
this.
Yeah. I definitely will.
Yeah. Anyway.
I don't mind, though.
Let's get serious.
And the next fine is New South Wales making Harry Conway run the drinks.
Oh, yeah. That's
and playing Liam Hatcher.
Yeah.
Just come on. Why? You can't make a man as great as that run drinks. He's too overqualified for that.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Golden Circle.
What have they done?
I don't know if you've... You've been to the shops to buy some cordial, or you've had some Golden Circle cordial recently.
No, I just skip past it and go to Cordies.
Because we went to the cricket, we'll get onto that later.
Yeah.
We made a mix for ourselves, and I went to get the cordial, got some Golden Circle cordial.
Yeah.
And I was not very happy to see that they've gotten rid of the handles on the bottles.
Oh, yeah, this was putrid.
They've got, like, this little indented
sort of grip thing. Yeah.
To try and hold it, but like it's so difficult to.
Yeah.
If you've got like one finger, you can't just hold it like with the handle. No. I dropped the bottle last night as well. I was trying to put it in the fridge because I had two things in my hand and I'm trying to like put it into this one spot where it goes in the fridge and I dropped it because there's no handle.
That's like just... handles were invented for a reason.
Exactly.
Sir Arthur Handel invented it for a reason.
Look, I know that the reason is probably because they're trying to put more cordial in it, but they're massive bottles already.
I know. It's like 2 liters or something.
Yeah, exactly. They're huge.
And it's not like they're circular either, so you can grab it like it.
No. Just...
It's just bullshit, isn't it?
It's all bullshit. Yeah. Everything's bullshit, Nico.
Yeah.
It's all bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why are we even here? That was a bit...
Because we're entertaining
our
audience.
We
hope. Probably not. Sorry. Why are you listening to this?
I don't know.
Hopefully the rest of this is entertaining for you. Oh, well.
Such a mess.
Oh, yeah. Cricket Australia, for not giving Stoinis a contract.
Oh, yeah. Those bastards.
Bastards.
Ricks.
Because I get why they didn't give Head a contract. Originally, I was a bit pissed off about that, but I can understand their reasoning behind that.
Mm.
But Stoinis, like, hasn't really done anything wrong, to be honest.
No. Like, just because he doesn't play all three formats for Australia. Because
we didn't have a lot of one-day cricket over the last, sort of, 12 months for him to play, so...
And even this season
And even the ones that he did play, he wasn't terrible.
Even the seasons that we got coming up, or the series we got coming up, they're all white ball, I'm pretty sure.
Exactly.
Even the white ball T20 World Cup.
Yeah. Well, at least it's not like last year, where Michael Clark said Chris Lynn should get a contract because the T20 World Cup was coming up.
Oh, have you heard the latest from Chris Lynn? Apparently he wants to get a private jet.
Does he really?
To get him out of India. I heard along the grapevine.
No. Right. Okay. Last fine for South Australia for pulling a really, really, really bad April Fool's joke and telling us that Chad Sayers has retired.
It's real, Jim. It's not a joke.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jim.
Because it was an April Fool's. Yeah. But they did it on April 1st. And
He's retired, Jim. But it's fine, because then we get to see him play grade cricket.
That is true. Oh, we just can't adore his magnificence in the Shield anymore.
Yeah. We'll just devote our time to looking at his results on my cricket.
Is that all the fines we got? You got any more?
No, I think that's it.
That's it?
Yeah, that's...
Short fine segment.
I know. I think we just...
I mean, there hasn't been a hell of a lot of cricket on, but...
No, not really.
So, yeah. Little bit, not news, but just results with the finals for domestic cricket, the one-day cup final.
Yeah.
New South Wales won that. Jack Edwards playing his first game of the season. Goes big from number five and makes a ton. That was his first one-day cup game for the season, I think.
And it was the final?
Yep.
Damn.
Yeah.
Fair play.
And sort of, got New South Wales to a decent total, and then WA just sort of threw it away with the bat. Only got bowled out for 149 after 40 overs or something like that.
It really did.
Well, it was just some weird things that Western Australia did, like Cam Green opening the bowling, Mitch Marsh bowling first change, even if he did take two wickets. And, WA just sort of never really got going with the bat.
Mm-hmm.
New South Wales' bowlers were able to keep it pretty tight. Hazelwood, none for 29 off his 10. Abbott, 4 for 23 off 7 was the standout. And Lyon, 3 for 38 off 10. And I don't think any of them went for more than...
Things that go five missing in finals.
Even Mitchell Starc didn't go for more than five and over, and that's yeah,
Jesus.
That says something. But then Queensland went on to absolutely demolish New South Wales in the Shield final.
Oh, that was good to watch.
Yeah, with Marnus just back at his best, really. I think
taking the piss.
Absolutely taking the piss.
But then he got out to a 44-year-old bloke in county cricket.
Yep, and that's probably a good transition into your love to see it. To be honest,
yep.
You love to see a 44. Well, it'll be 45 by the time this comes out.
Yeah,
getting him out.
He probably bowls somewhere in between slow pace and medium pace. I don't think.
I reckon he bowls somewhere between 100
and 110.
115.
I reckon 115
in that sort of range. He's a pace bowler, but the keeper keeps up to the stumps. That's what we're dealing with here. Yeah, and he's got Marnus out plumb LBW.
Yeah, I mean, fair play to him for. 45-year-old bloke to be still.
And he turned up as well a few weeks ago. He bats at number 3 and opens the bowling, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. A genuine
and 45 years old.
A genuine all-rounder.
Yeah. He's just that one vets bloke.
Yeah.
At the local cricket club who's still playing in the ones or twos.
Mm.
Just because he can't give it up.
And gets Labuschagne out just casually. Yep.
Very casually.
Yeah.
Who's in very good form, as we just said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a fair few... I think there's a fair few Australians in county cricket at the moment.
Yeah, there is. I think there was a few of them wanting to
Marcus
go over.
Marcus Harris is over there.
Harris is over there. Head's going over there.
Yeah. He's playing for Surrey, isn't
he? I honestly don't know who they're playing for or how many
players are over there. The annoying thing is that, I can't remember which teams they play for, so I go through every single game.
Yeah, because there's
so
many of them.
But there's 10 different games going on at the same time.
Exactly. And so I had to keep track of it, because if you're just going through results, you've got about 20 games. Or, no, not 20.
Yeah.
But close to that probably. Yeah. There's a lot.
Yeah, and it's all really, I reckon it's done really well, because it's all intertwined with all the limited over stuff as well.
Yeah.
I think that's really good.
I think there's a lot of stuff that Australian cricket can take from English cricket.
Especially the Vitality Blast.
Oh, yeah. Especially their T20 competition, because that is very well run.
They've got the 100 as well this season, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah.
That's just
don't remind me of that.
That's going to be interesting.
See, now they're taking stuff from us and just
not doing too well with it.
Yeah, just...
Who knows? It could end up well, but it's just going to...
No.
I don't think... Because it's like five ball overs, isn't it?
Five ball overs, but someone can bowl a six ball over or something like that.
No, isn't it someone can bowl a 10 ball over?
I'm or 10... Sure. Oh, yeah, see, that's even worse.
See, I don't get the point in the 100 because it's just taking the rules of cricket and just...
Just be like, okay, no, this isn't cricket, but it's still cricket.
Yeah. And it's like... But it's like the thing with the Big Bash, how they implemented all these new rules and stuff like that to make it entertaining, even though it's just making it more confusing by adding extra rules. Now, the 100's going to be like, let's change all the rules of cricket to make it entertaining.
Well, the thing
like...
with the Big Bash... Sorry, Super Duper League. Like, you should be trying to appeal to new viewers. And if you're doing that... By trying to make it more entertaining, by making it more confusing for new viewers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I just... To be honest, I don't see what the 100 is trying to do.
No.
I
don't either. What's so different about it from T20 cricket? It's literally 20 balls less in innings, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So what's the point?
We weren't even meant to talk about the 100 today.
It's just slightly shorter version of T20 cricket.
Yeah.
Even though T20 cricket is supposed to be just a short version of cricket.
Anyway, the 100 sounds like a terrible idea.
I wouldn't say a terrible idea. It's just a pointless idea, really, for more franchise cricket. This
anyway, after that tangent.
Stupid franchise cricket. Okay, back to your love to see it. Sorry, we got a bit sidetracked there.
Yeah, we did.
Talking about things we don't love to see.
Yeah.
Okay. Abbott batting in the top six. I think we said this on a few potties ago. And
amazing.
How good he is, has been with the bat. In the Shield final, he actually got an opportunity. Didn't make any runs, but he still batted in the top six, and it was very good to see. Ian Holland, the local lad from Ringwood, going big in county cricket.
That was amazing.
Making a ton.
I remember he actually gave a speech at our school one time.
Did he?
Yeah, because...
Well, he did go to Ringwood, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. No, because I remember it was in, like, year eight, and I didn't make the cricket side. But then the day that everyone on the cricket side left to play...
Oh, really?
He had a speech. And I'm, like, taking the piss.
That must have been when, like, I broke my collarbone and I was away from school for a while.
I reckon it might have been.
Because I do not remember it at all.
No, it was really good. Because I was the only cricketer there. Because all the cricketers were Because
I feel
playing.
Like I would have definitely remembered that
if
it happened. Yeah, that's quite disappointing.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Thanks, Nico.
This is just a mixture of things.
Khawaja reckons he still wants to play Test cricket.
I
like how he's not giving up on his aspirations and still wants to be the best he can be and play for Australia.
I think that's really good that there's still players out there that are, like, very dominant in white ball cricket but still want to play red ball cricket.
Yeah, exactly.
And the highest level of it.
Yeah.
And still...
See, Khawaja hasn't been that great in Shield cricket. I think he needs just to absolutely tear it up at the start of next season if he wants to have a chance of getting in that Ashes side.
Yeah. I still think it's just really good that there's still players...
Because I reckon the spot's up for grabs.
Yeah.
Definitely is, because I think we spoke about Moses probably wanting to...
opening spot as well.
Yeah, even possibly opening.
Yeah.
You never know.
Depending on how David Warner's fitness is.
What would you think about Khawaja, say, batting at number five or something like that? Like, I know it's different.
I think that's probably a little bit too low, I think.
I reckon he could play more like he does in white ball cricket, batting at number five.
Possibly. And he sort of goes along at that sort of like 100 strike rate.
Oh, not 100, but like...
Yeah.
No.
80.
But like striking, just, yeah, so then there's not as much pressure on him to make runs.
Quite.
Like it would be if he was batting number three.
Quite possibly. Or opening. I think that would be,
I mean, it's an
idea. It could work.
It's a bit left field, but it's,
something different.
Definitely something to think about. You can take this one, Nico.
Oh, yes. This is the biggest announcement in the history of cricket.
Local cricket.
No. All
just cricket?
All cricket.
Okay.
Things you love to see. Cricket presentation night for Ainslie Park. Our captain coach comes out to the front and he says, we've got a player announcement. Tom Stray is coming back to Ainslie Park. The local lad went on to play for Ringwood, became one of the highest run scorers and most matches played for Ringwood. Went to...
Play for Victoria and South Australia.
In an under-19s World Cup
with
Australia. Yep. And in that side was like Finch, Warner, Khawaja, Tom Cooper.
Yeah.
Tommy Cooper and Usman Khawaja were opening the batting in that. Finch was batting at like six or seven. And he was, and Tom Strait was batting at three, and he's coming back to Ainslie Park, and I couldn't be happier.
It's a massive thing for the RDCA.
Oh, it is huge.
Absolutely huge. But you've probably got more thoughts on it than
I
do.
Yeah, I mean, I've met him once, I think, and he donated just a heaps of St. Peter stuff because he's sponsored by them. He just had heaps of bats.
His P stuff is great.
That's why you should come to Ainslie, Jim.
No.
Okay.
Nico, I'm not leaving the rain.
Okay, right? that's fine.
Like the rain. Rain's good.
Are you just saying that because they're all listening to us right now?
Yeah, they might be.
Hopefully.
I hope they are.
Anyway, so yeah, Tom Strait's back and I couldn't be happy.
Oh, you can have the next one too. Because your favourite cricketer has been doing some stuff.
Yeah.
One of your favourite cricketers.
You know, Finn Allen has taken the world by storm and now he's playing in the IPL.
Has he actually been playing? I haven't been paying any attention to the IPL yet.
But in all fairness, he got picked by Royal Challengers Bangalore,
mm-hmm.
which have the likes of Glenn Maxwell, AB de Villiers, Virat Kohli, Kyle Jamieson.
Well, he's better than Kohli.
I mean, yes, but Kohli opens in that side.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. He's a better opener than Kohli.
Oh, I mean, Kohli has been doing all right, unfortunately. Kohli has been doing all right. But yeah, in that side, to take an international spot like Maxwell, AB de Villiers, those sort of blokes, Zampa and Kane Richardson have left that side to come back to Australia.
Yep.
But Finn Allen's there. He's waiting in the wings, waiting for his opportunity.
Give him a game.
And when he gets his opportunity,
give him a game.
Because he took Felipe's spot because Felipe opted out to not play. Yeah. And then they're like, Finn Allen.
Finn Allen, get him in.
And yeah.
But he was doing very well in the T20 Internationals,
He did very well. Or even against like Bangladesh, I think he made like a 70.
Yeah.
In like two overs.
But it was 70 off like 20, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Because I think that was...
He got out for a golden duck the first game. And then the second game, he faced like two balls. And then the third ball was a switch hit for four.
That's great.
You know.
Gotta love him. If you haven't seen any highlights of him, yeah.
Yeah, you gotta watch him.
You gotta watch him.
Yeah.
Finn Allen, that is.
Yeah.
So, Nico.
Yep.
We went to the cricket, didn't we?
We did.
We did. Went to the Sheffield Shield game at Junction Oval a few weeks ago.
Yep.
South Australia versus Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a bit of fun.
Not gonna lie, I reckon it's probably the best game of cricket I've been to, ever.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think it's so much better than going to the MCG when there's like...
Yeah.
Thousands,
it's
thousands
just
of
the, just the atmosphere.
Yeah, it's just so much
it's
better.
It's so different. But
and then when you've got... Yeah. We had literally Marcus Harris walk behind us.
Mm-hmm.
We had Scott Bolam.
Oh, the cricketers come out and walk all around the ground.
Scott Bolam was just in the pavilion most of the time.
Yeah, I think most of the cricketers had their family there. I think that's what surprised me the most. Like, there were so many family members there.
Mm. And then I think Lloyd Pope was there watching.
Yeah.
Lloyd Pope with the South Australian Ultras.
There was a few blokes from South Australia just watching. Originally, they were inside the ground, but eventually they ended up on like outside the fence so they could drink.
Yeah.
And they were going crazy.
Oh, they were going
towards the end of the game.
That was pretty funny.
It was very funny. So that was... Well, for the reason we went there was obviously because it was Chad Sayers' last game.
Yeah.
But also, Samuel Kerber and James Seymour made their debuts.
Yep.
And did very, very well for themselves. Both of them made 50s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
I think
Jimmy Seymour batted very, very well.
I think Kerber got smacked with the ball, but he's not there. He shouldn't
consistent.
Be there.
He bowled about 33 overs.
Yeah, but he shouldn't be there like as a frontline spinner, though.
No, not really. But the problem with South Australia is they don't really have anyone better. I mean, I guess it was Junction Oval, though.
I mean,
so
they
you
do
can
have
justify
Hatsiglu.
That.
They do have Hatsiglu.
Yeah, I don't know how good he is with the red ball yet, though.
No.
So,
I reckon his shoulder would probably pop out after, like, four overs of bowling.
And Lloyd Pope just gets smashed. Yeah. So, especially on Junction Oval, he would have.
Oh, yeah.
So, probably better to go with someone who's going to be a little bit more economical. Dutchie took a fifer though. He was turning it on day one.
Yeah.
On Junction.
He doesn't even turn it on like day 10 of an Indian
His whole
pitch.
Career he's just been a tweaker and all of a sudden he's just turned into a genuine spin bowler. He's started to give him a rip.
Yeah.
The Victorian batting was a little bit disappointing. Harris, well from what we saw at least, Marcus Harris and Maddo both made about 40 odd, looked pretty solid, but failed to go on with it.
Yeah. I mean, I was really keen because they had everyone out for the short ball, and I'm like, Maddo's going to take it on shortly.
Yeah.
And then he just caught one in the shoulder and one in the back.
He did get one for six, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Got a big one towards the pavilion. Oh, no. Wait, was that Seymour? Yeah, oh, yes. Oh. No, sorry. That's right.
Seymour. He just flat batted one.
No, because he took about 16 balls to get off the mark, and then he gets bounced, and he absolutely lays into one and absolutely smashes it for six for his first runs in Shield cricket.
At about mid-wicket.
It was fantastic.
That was really good.
What a way to like get your first Shield runs and get off the mark.
Yeah.
After not scoring for 16 balls, he just goes and smashes a six.
Yeah.
It was beautiful to watch. We saw a little bit of Sammy Harper batting, but didn't do much on day two when we went. But then the next day, he goes on and makes a big 106 not out.
Yeah.
Somehow, thanks to Mitch Perry and Todd Murphy, who made 35 and 34 respectively from numbers 10 and 11? Was it 10 and 11?
Actually, okay,
9 and 10.
Sorry, one of my favourite moments from the day that we were there was that we had Liam Scott in front of us the whole time. He was on the boundary. And
we're just like, should he get a bowl? Maybe?
Yeah, we're just like, oh, surely Liam.
Why is Liam Scott not bowled yet?
He's like, surely we get Liam Scott.
Okay, so then he finally gets a bowl.
And then
first ball, he gets a wicket.
First ball, he gets Maddow out, caught behind. And we're like, oh, wait, that's Liam Scott. Oh, yeah! Scott! Scotty! I reckon that was probably one of my favorite moments.
Yeah, this. People really should go to, like, Shield games and One Day Cup games more often.
Yeah, I was just annoyed that they blocked off the hill.
Yeah, I really want to go on the hill.
Oh, no, fun.
Oh, well. Hopefully, get a few more bigger crowds in
next year.
It'll be good. Maybe get some bigger crowds in.
Maybe if there's ever a final at the Junction again.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't there supposed to be a Big Bash game at the Junction
scheduled? I think we just wanted there to be one, and we're very disappointed when there wasn't one.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, we're going to have one at Moe. We're going to have one at Moe, but not Junction Oval.
Junction Oval. I think that's all we've got for that.
Yeah.
Now we can move on to our season highlights.
Yeah.
And we've got a few of them. They're a bit random, but... First one we've got, how inspirational is Joe Burns? He's just proving that you can be in form and you can still play for Australia.
Oh,
like even if you're averaging under 10 as an opener, you can still play for Australia. Believe in yourself and you will get there.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah. Bradman Thompson. If you know, you know.
He's from Bendigo, I'm pretty sure.
He's from Bendigo.
He plays for Bendigo Cricket Club and he's just...
Plays for Bendigo under 16s, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. And he's not even, like, a terrible player. It's just for some reason they just found him.
They just made him a meme.
Yeah. And Cricket 6 posting just made him a meme.
Made him a meme. Yep.
I think probably one of my favourite highlights, this is a genuine highlight, was Liam Connor saving WA.
Liam Connor, come on.
With his heroic zero not out.
Liam O'Connor.
Liam O'Connor, sorry.
Yes.
Liam O'Connor's saving WA with his zero not out. I mean, first of all, Cartwright's 20 off like 155,000 balls. I mean, Cartwright sort of set it up. He built the foundations for O'Connor.
If we're being serious, yes, Cartwright batted very well. Because he did have a back injury as well.
And he was dealing
with that. So he did very well to stay in.
That game was probably one of my favourite games of the season. Yeah. And that was just what it's all about, Jim.
This is why we love Shield cricket. We spoke about it either on the last podcast or the podcast before that. But Liam O'Connor, good, and nearly went out on the last ball, but saw it through. What a man!
Sid's banana man, Mr. Potassium.
Absolutely loving life.
Yeah.
Post international retirement.
Yeah, he's basically retired.
Gone to the Tassie retirement home and he's just living it up.
You know, it's
absolutely off the rails.
Bleached hair, scuba sunnies, machine.
Love it. Love it.
Bo Webster bowling his seamers.
Seam up.
Amazing.
And he was very good at it too.
Yeah, he was.
Proved to be a very handy, even first change bowler at times.
Yeah, even for the Renegades.
And took some very good wickets in Shield cricket.
Yeah, I just loved it with the Renegades. It's just right-handers batting. All right, seamers, left-hander. Oh, offies.
Yeah,
you love great. To see it.
Probably the most niche player in Australia right now. What do we got next? Maroon floppies.
Yeah.
Oh.
Amazing.
Khawaja and Nisa, I think, were the two main ones that pulled them out. But
yeah.
I think the thing was they wore them in Shield cricket as well. I think they did.
I mean, why not?
But yeah.
I know Khawaja did for the coin toss with his maroon jacket, the maroon floppy.
The maroon blazer and...
Yeah. And then his coin tosses. He just like jumps up and just tries to get as high as possible.
Yeah, I love it. Something different. It's unique.
Yeah. I just love it if one time it just lands and it just like falls into like a crack in the pitch or something like that.
If there's a crack in the pitch on day one, groundsmen aren't doing something right.
Yeah, but it's just like Tony Gregg's keys just...
Yep, just gone. This one's probably not a massive highlight, but just Maddo opening the batting in Shield cricket. Just how aggressive he is.
Oh, then, like, I think, was it the first over of Sean Abbott where he just like bowls it at Bale height? Oh, who was it? No, it wasn't Sean Abbott.
It might have been Sean Abbott. No, I honestly can't remember.
No, I'm
who
pretty
it was.
Sure it was
at, I know what you're talking about.
I'm pretty sure it was at Alan Borderfield. I can't remember. But anyway, the bowler just bowls it at like Bale height and he's like, yep, six. Thank
six
you.
Six off his hip.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And this is in Shield cricket on like day one or two.
It was like the first over of the innings.
And he's taken on the new red ball.
Yeah.
Just love it. Love it.
Just no f**ks given.
This is a serious one now. Cam Green and Sean Marsh. We'll put them in together. It's just been so good over the...
Season just gone.
Well, season just gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, just very, very good in... Well, especially in domestic cricket.
Yeah.
Cam Green, it was good to see him in the international side, but didn't really do as well as might have hoped.
I think he made like a 50... I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he made a 50.
He hit a 6 for Australia before he hit a 6 for Perth Scorchers. I remember. That was pretty funny. He made like... How many runs did he make for WA? Well, he was the top most runs.
He would have made 1,000 runs in Shield cricket if the season hadn't been shortened.
Yeah.
I think he got to about 950-odd.
Yeah, it was the most run scorer
and
for the season.
Probably definitely would have got there.
And for an all-rounder, that's...
Well, I guess so. Yeah.
I'd say he's an all-rounder.
I think for the start of the season, he was still getting
back
into his bowling. But he can play as a genuine batsman, even if he doesn't bowl.
Yeah.
But he can also play as a genuine all-rounder. So I think it's great
to have
not flexibility.
He's probably not a genuine bowler. He probably wouldn't be an all-rounder bowler.
He used to be. But yeah, Sean Marsh as well, at, 38 or however old he is, just...
Ancient.
Still going strong. Mitchell Swepson...
Oh, just a gun.
Gun.
Obviously had his...
Weird neck stress fracture injury, but came back from that, and it wasn't as good as he was before he had it, but
still very good.
Still got a Shield title.
Yeah, I love those wickets
still
that he
got
took,
the medal.
At the back end of the season, to like Daniel Hughes, where he's just bowled it wide outside off around the wicket,
and
it just
absolutely ripped it.
Spins like half a pitch width. And then just knocks out his leg stump.
Yep. And as a batsman, there's literally nothing you can do about that.
No.
Because you're not expecting it to turn back that much.
Because if you go on the front foot, you got the danger of getting the bat pad in.
Yeah. They're the ones that you just sort of go...
give up. You
just Oh, well.
Yeah.
You just can't really be angry with it because you're not getting yourself out. It's just... They're just those unplayable deliveries. Now we've got... Okay, go on, Nico. Go on.
Oh, Holland's mark of the year. Going full forward in the pocket.
In the pocket.
That was amazing.
Up, takes an
we
absolute
didn't actually
screamer.
Think, we're sort of debating whether it was this season.
I honestly couldn't remember whether it was this season or last season. Because I thought it was at Junction Oval, but it wasn't.
No, it was in Adelaide.
Karen Ralton or whatever
it was.
Yeah,
it was when they were doing the hub in Adelaide.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's one of the funniest cricket moments.
Now, if you haven't seen the video...
I think Peter Handscomb had a video... Where he was just, like, taking marks over people in the footy and stuff like that.
What do we got next?
What do we have next?
Cricket Yoda. Cricket Yoda. What can I say? Just Cricket Yoda.
Yeah.
There isn't really much to say.
Actually, one highlight I do want to add in there. Was Mr. Potassium. You remember those blokes from...
Those
blokes from Tasmania.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, just love Peter Siddle. Just love what he's doing. You know, get on the bananas.
Yes.
Just love him. Mr. Banana Man. Mr. Potassium.
Yeah, that is a genuine season highlight, one.
That was funny. And they all had the bleached hair as well.
Yeah.
Just like,
just
love what she's doing. Getting on the bananas.
Harry Conway shadow batting. At the top of his mark. Well, just everything Harry Conway does is a highlight, to be honest. Gotta love the man.
Yeah.
Virat.
Yeah.
I realised the other day, has not scored an international century since 2019.
Hasn't he?
No.
Huh.
That's great.
That's pretty funny.
It's fantastic. It's funny. Yep.
It's pretty comical.
Peter Hatzoglou.
Ugh. Peter.
How can you not include him? What a man.
Yep.
What a...
It's just...
Man.
It's just vintage. As we said before, in one of the other potties, when we first mentioned
we
him,
love a cult hero here.
It's
on,
just...
On
exactly. It's just vintage...
Absolutely
Big
love
Bash
him.
League.
Yep.
You know.
Although the big disappointment was not seeing Clive Rose at all on our TVs this year.
That was depressing.
Missed him. Really, really missed him.
That was very sad.
But you know what we did love to see?
Yeah.
It was Rakeem Cornwall.
Oh.
Making his, well, first two Test 50s. Because the game after he made his first one, which was incredibly entertaining. He made another incredibly entertaining 50.
Yeah. And then took 9 for in us.
And took 9 for in...
Not in one innings, but in a across a game.
Yeah. And that concludes our season highlights, I think, unless you have any to add to that.
No.
No.
I think that's about it.
Now, Nico.
Yeah.
The Redbacks are in a bit of a dire situation at the moment.
They really are.
They did not win a game all season.
Yeah.
And they've made a few list changes. They've...
Yeah.
Well, Chad Sayers is retired. Tom Cooper's retired.
Yeah.
Callum Ferguson's retired.
Yeah.
They've also cut Will Basisto.
Yeah.
Luke Robbins, which you can't really argue with that.
Yeah.
Connor McInerney, which I was really disappointed about.
Yeah.
Because what a man. And Brad Davis, who literally just won the SACA Premier Cricket Player of the Year. And they've cut him. I think that pretty much just sums up where they're at.
That's rough.
As a state.
Yeah.
So, Nico, yesterday... Was it yesterday or the day before?
You have bestowed upon
I've
me...
I've given you the task
of
attempting to fix South Australian cricket.
Yep.
Resurrecting the Redbacks. I'll give it to you, Nico.
All right, listen
Lay
up.
Lay it on me.
Listen up, South Australia. Or SACA, as people call them.
The SACAs.
The SACAs. This is South Australia's reboot. I call it Project Vets. Because they've lost a lot of experienced blokes in... Ferguson, Sayers, and Tom Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a pretty young side, but they're just not quite right. So that's why I'm thinking they've got to go the experienced route.
Now, Nick, just before you get started, I did have one request and one request only.
Yeah.
And he's the captain.
The captain? Mark Cosgrove.
Who else?
He's in the side. Now, because they've lost two very good batsmen in the middle order, I've said David Hussey should come out of retirement and play for him. And they've lost the senior bowlers in Chad Sayers. So I think they've got to go need a gun fast bowler.
So even though they've got like Joe Meny, Wes Agar, Nick Winter, all those sort
no,
of players
they,
coming
they,
through.
They need more experience. They need someone experienced. This is Project Vets after all.
Okay.
Brett Lee, he's coming back. He's coming back to play for him. So obviously get rid of Head as captain.
Yep.
Pass it on to Cozzy. Give Clive Rose a contract.
Yes. Is that as a batsman or a spin bowler?
I reckon as a batsman.
Yep.
They really need to improve on their batting stocks.
Yep.
Get rid of Mike's brother, Henry Hunt.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. And then have Clive Rose come in as opener.
As an opener?
Yep.
Oof.
Sam Kerber, no good batting at like 8, so you got to have him up
the order.
Got to have him up the order. The more serious ones, obviously Ben Pengelly has to play.
Okay.
You got to give him a gig. Niju Ewan, he's got to play.
Okay.
But if they want another spinner, I think bring James Muirhead in after. Although he's retired, but just bring him out of retirement, just give him a contract.
Get his wrist working again.
But yeah, if they can't get Brett Lee, if Brett Lee is unavailable doing like a Bollywood movie or something like that again, then I think Chris Tremaine, he's looking for somewhere to go. I think he went to New South Wales and didn't do anything. He didn't even play a game.
No.
So yeah, I guess he'll probably be available. And yeah, that's my Project Vets South Australian reboot.
Got.
Yep.
Very interesting.
Yep.
It's... An interesting take on where the Redbacks are at.
Out with the new, in with the old, Jim. That's what I always say.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go, everyone. That is Nico trying to save South Australian cricket.
Project Vets, Jim. It's all about the old blokes now.
All right, then. Guess we'll move on.
Yeah.
We've got the team of the season coming up now.
Yeah.
This is a combined team of the season for domestic cricket only.
Yep.
No internationals, no Super Duper League. It's One Day Cup and Shield cricket. We were thinking about doing two separate teams, but Yeah. The One Day Cup didn't really go for long enough to really warrant its own side. Yeah. So, kicking it off is Sam Whiteman.
Yep, that's fair.
Who was in very good form, especially in the first half of the season.
Yeah.
Not only in Shield and One Day cricket, but also in Premier cricket as well.
Yeah, I remember... Because
we did include him in our Premier cricket team of the season as well.
I remember the first game that WA played, and I'm like, Sam Whiteman, haven't heard his name in years. Where's he been? What's he even been doing? And then he just makes heaps of runs.
He's back as an opener and been really impressive. Another bloke who lost himself a little bit was Cam Bancroft. And it is good to see like two opening partners in this team.
Yeah.
Bancroft, I hadn't rated his season that well until I realised how many runs he'd actually made. And especially towards the end of the season, he was really solid in Shield cricket.
Yeah, I mean, an honourable mention would be Marcus Harris.
Marcus Harris.
He made his
200 odd in that first game where he had that massive partnership with Pekoski, who was also
sort of close to making
this team just because he averaged about 250, but
yeah, but that was all in one game in that one inning.
Yeah, so Harris made like a third of his runs in one game on an absolute road, and then didn't do that much for the rest of the season. So we're gonna go with Bancroft here.
Yeah,
we got Marnus at number three.
Yeah,
mainly because of his second half of the season.
Yeah,
after the tests, he did okay in the hub. I think he made. Yeah. One ton, but went through a little bit of a rough patch, but was just in really, really good form and ended up as in the top three leading run scorers for the Shield for the year.
Yeah.
So can't ignore him. Number four, Sean Marsh. Talked about him already.
Yeah.
Just really good. Get him in the Australian side. Number five, Travis Head.
Yeah.
Didn't quite do it on the international stage.
No,
again,
unfortunately.
But he absolutely takes the piss when he's playing Shield cricket.
Yeah.
Absolutely takes the piss.
Yeah, especially in the second innings. Like, he'll make, like, two in the first innings, and then second innings, he's going to make a double ton or something.
Oh, yeah. Lots of big daddy double hundreds for Travis Head.
There was one game, I think, at the Wacker where he just went nuts in a one-dayer.
Yep. Yeah. Number six, Cameron Green. Already spoken about him.
Yeah.
Too many times. Lots of times. Yep, so we'll move on. Josh Inglis is our keeper in this side.
Yeah.
And
that's fair. There wasn't a whole lot of keeping... I think
Jimmy Pearson I thought about because he was just
consistent.
How solid he and consistent he was.
Yeah. I think Tim Payne, he wasn't there a whole lot.
Tim Payne was okay.
And then I think they had Jake Doran keeping.
He was a batsman for most of the year. So yeah, Josh Inglis, really, really entertaining to watch wherever he's batting in the order.
By far.
Especially even in Shield cricket if he's coming in at number seven.
Yeah.
Number eight, probably a little bit down. I would have had him up the order a little bit more if it weren't for having so many batsmen in the side, but that's Sean Abbott.
Yeah.
Just a real standout for me this year.
Yeah.
Really improved his
game. What did he average?
Both his bowling and his batting.
What did he average in the end? Like 40 with the bat?
I have no idea. I did not check. But still, very good, very impressive season.
Yeah.
Number nine.
The captain of the side.
Might as well make him captain.
Yeah.
Jackson Bird. Just had a very good season overall with the... Well, not only the ball, he actually had a good season with the bat as well.
Yeah, he did, surprisingly.
He batted very well at times.
Yeah.
And it's just, I stand by this, he is one of the most entertaining batsmen to watch. if Jackson Bird is batting, turn the game on if you can.
Well, he starts batting like 10 feet outside leg.
Yeah.
And then he just steps all the way across to like off stump. And then just goes
I don't know where it's
nuts.
Come from. Because what I remember from Jackson Bird batting, he was used to be very defensive and not... play that many shots. And now he's striking it over 100 most times.
I think he's just been talking to Peter Siddle a lot, just getting tips from him.
I don't know.
And Peter Siddle's just going, mate, who gives
and
a
And he absolutely... Fuck you, Nico. I've got to edit that out now.
Oh,
Oh, no. Not good. But seriously, he did make a couple of 50s, I think he did.
Yeah.
And... took wickets in both the One Day Cup and and the Shield.
And deservedly got the captaincy for Tasmania.
Yes, he did. We've got two spinners in the side, Nathan Lyon and Mitch Swepson.
Yeah.
Because they were the two leading wicket takers for the Shield for the year and just very, very impressive.
Nathan Lyon surprised me because I know I did like my whole Nuffy news on him and stuff like that, but I was just very surprised how many wickets he took because I didn't think he took
He responded that many. Very, very well after the tests finished and when the Shield came back.
I reckon he must have heard the podcast and just thought, I've got to up my game here.
He's just like, yeah, no.
Get stuff, Nick.
Get fucked, Nico.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon he's just done that.
I'll show you. I'm not washed up.
I mean, I am glad, but I just want him to get... Is it 400 wickets that he's...
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. He's on 399.
Yep. And the 12th man. One of the most prestigious awards you can ever have in cricket.
Yeah.
Is the Fine Leg to Fine Leg podcast. 12th man. And our 12th man of the season.
Yeah.
Is, rightly so, Bo Webster.
Yeah.
Who else could it be, really? I mean, we could have given it to Peter, but no. Bo Webster, because he actually has been good.
Yeah. He's just been stiff not to get into the side.
Harry Conway is probably stiff.
Yeah.
But Bo Webster, just because of how he's developed his game, but also still been, as I said, the most niche player in Australia.
Yeah.
Now, to conclude season two.
Yeah.
Nico has put together, he's gone through all the podcasts and listened to all of them. And
it was torture.
Good man. Thank you very much. You're he has gone you. Through and put together the best moments from this season.
Yeah.
From all the podcasts. The best potty moments of season two. Let's hear them. All right. We'll kick it off with Gladys. Gladys Berejiklian for being a flog.
Yeah. We don't mean to get political, but like, she's just been an absolute flog.
I'm fed up. Fed up with blokes in the Australian team just getting away with everything. Just getting in the side for not doing anything. And I'm talking about the big man, Nathan Lyon.
You realise it's going to be very loud because you're holding the microphone very, very close to your mouth.
I don't care. Okay. That's how fed up I am, Jimmy. Nathan Lyon does stuff all in the Sheffield Shield. And he's still going to get picked for Australia. I'm fed up. The man hasn't taken a fifer. But you know who has? Lloyd Pope. Lloyd Pope has taken more fifers than Nathan Lyon this season. A man, a ginger, who has an average of 86. Nathan Lyon's only taken one more wicket than this ginger that has an average of 86. This is why I'm so fed up, Jim. Because Mitchell Swepson isn't going to get a look in at all, even though in the same game, Nathan Lyon took 2 wickets in that same game across 2 innings, whereas Mitch Swepson took 10. And you know what? No one's going to care because everyone loves Nathan Lyon, don't they? He's the GOAT. He's just the best, isn't he? And I'm fed up of it, Jim. Ashton Agar has taken more wickets. Ashton Agar has taken more wickets than Nathan Lyon, and Ashton Agar doesn't even turn the ball.
Couldn't turn the doorknob.
He couldn't. He couldn't even turn a prostitute on.
Things you can say on the... Well, at cricket, but not to your girlfriend.
Yes.
No, the first one.
Oh, it's going to take a lot of effort to get through this.
Get ready for a broken it up. You can't say that. Clarky, come on, mate. Why have you just got Elise Perry as hot? You can't say that, Jim.
Oh, but it's true.
That's large. Especially if she's
that's
from
large.
Especially if she's from Thailand.
Yeah, that was your one, though.
Oh, that was my one.
That was quick.
Give it plenty of room.
You know when Wes Agar's bowling in Premier Cricket? Yep, that's quick. Let's wrap this up. I want to have a beer. Can you give me throat?
There's not even a double meaning behind that. No. It's just, can you give me throw down?
Yeah. I'm in love with Hilton Cartwright.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Nico here. Just a quick little disclaimer. Throughout the podcast, you may hear a little bit of annoying clicking in the background, and that's me clicking a pen just because I'm a bit of a f**khead.
And we'll just take a moment, moment of silence to pay our respects to Richard Gleeson, who has departed the Big Bash after 2 very eventful years.
Was it 2?
Moment of silence. Sorry. Alright, that's enough of that.
Good riddance, flog.
Alright.
Absolute dud.
Alright, let's get on to reviewing.
Had no heart for the Renegades at all, honestly. Trying to watch him bowl, when he played against Glenn Maxwell, when he was on fire at the G. He's just like, oh, have this full toss at your waist and see what you do with it. Oh, you sent it in the third tier? Oh, silly me.
Richard Gleason, I will miss you.
I f- won't.
No.
Come on. Bit of enthusiasm, please. This is half the reason no one likes the One Day Cup at the moment.
Not even the commentators give a toss.
If you actually give a shit, then come on. Peter Hanscom, you're copping this fine for giving Mackenzie Harvey a ball. God knows why.
I'm assuming we had just given up.
I think we had given up. Yeah, wasn't looking good. I think that was the game we played an under-19s team. Yeah. And somehow Mackenzie Harvey, he got two overs as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mackenzie Harvey's also going to cop a fine because he just would not pitch the thing up.
No. So I'm going to bowl at my own toes.
I am going to bowl. Just half tracker. A half tracker is my stock ball, so that's just what I'm going to bowl.
Good luck.
Not going to make any changes to it. Just going to keep bowling it there.
Halfway down the pitch.
Maybe he was just too scared of putting it in the slot. So he just, I don't know. I mean, ultimately, it is Peter's fault, but still, yeah, come on. If you're going to bowl, then at least put a bit of effort into it.
So today, as we're recording this, I finished uni at 2:30.
Yep.
So quickly ran down to the station, got the train, got the quickest train I could, and then came here, and then went to 7-Eleven for a sausage roll.
Yep.
It was the worst, most dreadful tasting sausage roll of my life.
Oh.
We pay $1 million for this sausage roll. It's
how much was it?
It was $3.50.
Okay.
So it wasn't terrible. Standard but the price. Options was like, you know, $5 for a pie, and I'm like, spending
not
that.
Not $5 on a pie.
No. I'm not spending that. It better be a good pie, but no, it's a pie that's been in there for, you know, like 5 days.
Yeah, probably.
And the sausage roll tasted like it'd been there like since ancient Egyptian time. And I paid $3.50 for it. Not even a full thing of sauce could...
Well, sucked in.
Not even a packet of sauce could, you know, help recover
couldn't
it.
Couldn't save it. No.
Absolutely disgusting.
No.
Not KFC. 7-Eleven. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Fine Leg to Fine Leg podcast. As always, I am Nico, and with me is Jimbo.
Hi.
How are we going today, Jimmy?
You've taken me a bit. But that...
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Why not? Well, let's just change it up a bit today.
Yeah,
why not?
Let's do it a bit different today.
Yeah, sure. Nico?
Yes, Jim?
I'm fed up.
What are you fed up with, Jim?
With Warnie on commentary.
Oh, why is that, Jim?
Because he's
language. You're going to have to edit that out,
Yeah,
Jim.
I will. I don't care.
All right.
Because Warnie, I've had it with you. You know what did it?
What did you
picking your ideal test squad off BBL form. He's got Warner. No surprises there. That's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine.
That's fine.
But at number 2, this is where things start getting really interesting.
Yep.
Stoinis.
Oh.
Opening.
Oh.
He doesn't even open in Shield cricket.
Oh. Stoinis.
This is the worst one. Number 7. Who do you reckon his ideal keeper is?
Is it Carey?
No.
It's not Payne?
No.
Sam Harper?
No.
Oh. Gotch.
No. No, it's...
Who is it?
Matthew Wade.
No.
The bloke who is well and truly washed up at test level.
No, I would rather say
and
Harper.
Hasn't taken the gloves in a Red Bull game in 3 years. He is Shane Warne's ideal wicketkeeper for Australia's test side. Are you kidding me, Shane?
Jeepers.
Are you serious? At number 11, taking the third fast bowling spot, he's not Nisa, it is not Pattinson.
Is it Steckity?
It's not even Steckity. It's not even Abbott, it's...
It's not Stark?
It's not Stark. It's Riley Meredith. The test side.
Warnie.
The bloke with an average Shield record. What's he thinking? He bowls fast, that's all he's got. That's pretty much Warne's justification for that.
But you've got Jai
Richardson. He bowls 150.
You've got Jai Richardson.
Who bowls the same? Abbott, Nisa, Pattinson. I would prefer Stark. Wait, I could go on. Will Sutherland.
Scott Boland.
We're not saying that, you know, Riley Netter is a bad bowler, but like...
Peter Siddle.
Well, he's retired.
I don't care. Going by Shane's logic, you could have him in and captain the side. Far out.
Jackson Bird.
Have Jackson Bird in there. So I was bowling. We batted first and made about 150-odd. Dave Johnson was going stupid. I was bowling first change. Come on, hits me for six and on about the third ball. The boys in the field were talking about my podcast and just like, oh, we should get Dave Johnson on the podcast. And then he hits me for six and turns around just like, oh, yeah, I'd love to be a guest on the podcast.
All right, Dave, if you're listening.
He's not listening. No, let's be honest, he's not listening.
Dave, if you're listening, let's do it.
Sure. But he's definitely not listening.
Nice. Definitely not. This is looking pretty good. They're 3 for 19 or something.
Yep.
And then Glenn Phillips.
And who is your favourite cricketer?
Glenn Phillips is by far my favourite international cricketer. Like
for no real apparent reason.
He's just a gun. He bats almost like Steve Smith, but without the idiosyncrasies. And he hits the ball. Amazingly, he's just a Jimmy. I don't think you understand how much of a gun he is.
I haven't watched him enough.
He's watch him in the CPL.
I'll go and watch
him. He's a T20 slot. He plays in all the T20 competitions because for some reason New Zealand don't give him a gig.
Well, they are now.
Yeah, at least they are now. But he plays in like the CPL. I wish he played in the Big Bash because. That would be fantastic. He's such a good player. I have finally come to my senses, opened my eyes up, and gone, Finch, you're a bit of a dud. He's averaged in 2021, this current year, he's had, what about, say about like 10 innings, maybe a bit more than that.
Yeah, something like that.
Average of 7. An average of 7, Jim. He's had an average of 7. And he's supposed to be the captain.
He's opening the batting too.
He's opening the batting as well. He's getting the new ball. He's like, you know what? Stuff is. I'm opening the batting. So I can average 7. He made 1 on Monday. He's supposed to be the captain. Send the example. He's playing, you know, in the Big Bash. He's playing for the... He's the captain...
Playing for the Raspberry Zupa Dupa team.
Yeah, he's playing against four the duds. The bottom side, the wooden spooners, and he's like, I'm not going to make a run. Stuff is. Just don't know anymore, Jim. I've tried with him. I've stuck by him. I've been like, yeah, you know what? He's going to make runs in this New Zealand series. He's gonna set the world back on fire. He's going to get back in form. But no.
No?
No. One day... I think I'm pretty sure he was still in juniors. He was playing in the fifths or sixes. And a bloke he was umpiring with said, oh, do you mind just doing main for this set of 5-6 overs or whatever? And Matt's like, yeah, that's fine.
Had he done it before?
Yeah, he'd done it before. So okay. He's like, yeah, okay. That's fine. So he's umpiring and you just hear, one large pepperoni, thanks. And he goes over to the bloke at square leg. And the bloke at square leg's on the phone ordering a pizza to come to the ground. Yeah.
I went down to Lawn just before Christmas and went to the Jetty Road Brewery. Shout out to them. They were good. Do good stuff. There was a bloke there with his miso drinking wine.
At a brewery.
Yeah. Turn it up, buddy.
That's
come
terrible.
On. Turn it up.
That's a big fine.
Another one for supermarkets. Because I could not find any Christmas pud. On. My mum couldn't find any Christmas pud this year, and I did not get any Christmas pud.
That's terrible. That's poor form. Was it Coles or Woolies or both?
I don't know. All of them. Just Aldi? Couldn't find any. Couldn't find any pud. God damn it. How can there be no pud?
It's Christmas.
I know it was 2020. I know the whole year was messed up.
All the pud factories.
But
are just
seriously, no pud. Spent my whole year looking forward to pud. And a little bit of custard.
Because normally. After Christmas, they have, like, their leftover puds for, like, half price. And there's, like, heaps of them.
No pud. A pudless Christmas for Jimmy. And I was bitterly disappointed.
Speaking of Elijah, you're going to be our first find for today, buddy. For man-catting a 12-year-old.
Yep. Oh, enough said, really. I don't think we need to get into it.
Just, yeah, no.
No, that's... No. Yep.
Okay, my story happened 2 seasons ago. I was playing Fitz, as always.
As usual.
And we're playing against Kilsyth's, I want to say, fours.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. And this bloke... So I was opening the batting, and this little short, fat bloke, bald head, came in and bowled little,
baby outies.
Yeah, pretty much. Just little,
what you get.
Little, just sort of gobbledygooks, I don't know what you'd call it. And, anyway, I got dropped off this bloke, and then the next over, I got bowled.
Nice.
So I'm like, that's, you know, I made 3 or something like that opening the batting, and I'm like, bit gutted. And anyway, as I leave, I see there's these people from Kilsyth, some supporters sitting on a bench with some bottles of champagne.
Oh.
And I'm like, what's
the celebration? What's
going on here? So then the next week, I come back, and the champagne's, and the same supporters, the same, with the champagne and everything all set up. And this fat bloke, this bald, short, fat bloke from Kilsyth comes on. And he gets a wicket.
Oh.
And he starts taking his shirt off.
Oh, no.
And it is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. He starts taking his shirt off, starts running around, starts, you know, doing the cowboy with his shirt, you know, just sort of whipping it around. He's running around Lipscomb Park in Croydon.
Oh.
Just having the time of his life.
That's the nicer part of Croydon too. That's where I live.
And then I found out... That was his 250th career wicket after 20 years of cricket of playing.
What, and you got dropped off him?
Yeah.
Ah,
so I could have been.
So you could have been that wicket.
I could have been that wicket. Then I found, and that's why all the champagne was there. So they'd set up the champagne last week for him to get his 250th wicket.
I mean, it probably wasn't given the inaccuracy of my cricket, but yeah, sure. Yeah. So during this week,
Mark Steckety,
that we are recording this,
Mark Steckety, you,
Callum Ferguson, decided to retire from first class cricket, and that, fair enough, he's been a bit out of form. It's probably the right time for him to go. He was on 97 in his second innings, in his last innings. Mark Steckety just decides to trundle in, bow one on the stumps. The Ferg misses it, goes out LBW. Steckety. This is the biggest fine we've ever given out. Like, not like we have a quantity or anything. But, Mark.
$1 million.
Mark, what are you doing?
Mark, you owe us $100 million.
Mark.
Actually, also the umpire. I want to find the umpire. Can we find the umpire as well?
The umpire's just doing his job, but it's Mark's fault.
I know, but like...
You can find the umpire if you want.
Yeah, umpire, you owe us a few bucks as well.
But Mark.
Jimmy's fed up. He's not happy.
This is a bloke that spent 18 years in South Australia's domestic setup, has put his heart and soul into that cricket team.
And only got one test for it.
Got one test on a patch of lawn down in Hobart against the South Africans. So he never stood a chance. And you get him out for 97 in his last innings. You couldn't even let him get 100, Mark.
Prick. And that's my highlights
stupid
of the potty.
7-Eleven.
So,
Okay, you just make good sausage rolls.
So, yeah, we'll, check that all those highlights in post, or you can go back.
Yeah, well, I'll
and,
try and...
Or you could go back and just listen to all the potties again, if you really
please
want
do.
To. Yeah, just... It only took me, like, 4 hours to listen to them all. Yeah. So, that's...
Say thank you to Nico, everyone. I'll put up a post so you can thank him.
Yeah.
On Insta.
Anyway, so that's the season.
That's the end of it.
Season two. It's been a pleasure, as always, Jim. I couldn't have done it without you. Otherwise, this would be a shit show, to be honest.
No. I couldn't have done it without you because you supply the house and the mic. So
yeah.
But
you do all the behind the scenes work.
I do a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. I do all the editing. So
I just get out of bed. And walk down to the office.
Pretty much.
Anyway.
I do have a little announcement, though.
Oh.
Fortunately, because the Croydon Rangers boys were so up and about the potty, they had the idea of, well, someone had the idea of creating a Croydon Rangers podcast.
Yep.
And it's looking like we're going to bring it to life next season. So get on that.
Yeah, so
when
Jim,
it comes out.
Jim's going to have two podcasts.
And don't worry, I'm not cheating on you, Nico.
Yeah, we made that
clear. We've had this conversation.
We made that clear. Jim's
still 100% committed to the Fine Leg to Fine Leg podcast.
It's time to not go.
This is my love child.
Yep.
And we'll be still putting lots of time and effort into this.
Yes.
Well, as I say, effort.
Do
we really put in effort to this?
Oh, we put in a lot of effort, Jim.
So, share this. Share our content on Instagram. Share Instagram.
Tell your girlfriends. Tell your mums.
Tell all your missos. Tell everyone.
Tell your sisters.
Get them to listen to the podcast.
Yeah, because...
Especially get them to listen to the podcast.
Because we looked at analytics and all our listeners are females.
They're 100% female.
It's 100% female. So obviously girls like us.
They must.
They do.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's it.
That is it for season two.
Season two. We'll be back in... Whenever cricket...
We'll be back around September time, I think.
Yeah, we'll have a little bit of break.
Yeah.
We'll probably do like a footy podcast.
Should we do a footy special?
I reckon we should. I
might put a post up and see if people would be interested.
If you guys are keen on us doing an AFL...
like special throughout the... Or a couple of specials throughout the season, we might do that.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Why not? Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening during the season.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to this season finale.
And that is
it from us.
Fine Leg Boys out.
Yep.